The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I want to start in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, but I want to preface my thoughts this morning with this thought that I've had for a long time now, but maybe a little more so in the last week or two, and that is just to let you know how much you mean to me, how special each one of you are, and how much you have impacted my life since we've been at Bethlehem. And I count it a tremendous blessing that I, day in and day out, am surrounded by such great, godly people. That is a wonderful blessing that the Lord has given me in my life. And I hope that that I have that for many, many more years. And along that line, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about the body of the church. And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I want to read just a few verses. I'm not going to read it necessarily consecutively here, but I'm going to read a good bit starting in verse 12. It says this: "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." And it goes on down here and it tells us that God hath tempered the body together. And it says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, if you will, turn over to Romans, the 12th chapter, for just a moment. And along these very same lines, I want to read a few verses to you here. In Romans, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." So the picture we have out of these two passages is this: that the Lord describes the body of the church that he established as a body with many different members. Now, that's something that we can relate to in a physical sense, that our body, our physical body, is made up of many different members. And while we might not necessarily recognize each one of those members as playing an important role in our life, each one of the members of our body plays an extremely important role in the act of nourishing and strengthening our physical body. And if you don't really understand that, go talk to somebody that maybe has lost some of the members of their body. And we often describe that as being handicapped, that they have much more difficulty in nourishing and taking care of their body as somebody that had all of their members. Now, I want you to take this for example. Now, I guess there's probably there's more members of the physical body than I can possibly even, you know, describe and even know. You know, I know there's over 200 bones in the body. There's countless muscles, countless tendons and ligaments. You've got a heart, you've got lungs, you've got a pancreas, you've got a stomach, you've got hands and feet and toes and fingers, you got nose and eyes and teeth and a tongue. I mean, it's just endless, the members that make up our body. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Let's say that I'm sitting in my house somewhere, and maybe I'm sitting down and I'm reading something, and Tiffany calls and she says, "Hey, Luke, supper's ready." All right, well, the first thing I do is I hear that. My ears play an important function in hearing the call that supper is ready. And then somehow or another, that transmits to my brain, and my brain processes and all the neurons and the synapses and all those things up there, that brain understands and recognizes what she says, and it sends all these impulses to the muscles of my body, and guess what I do? I stand up, and then I begin to take a step, and then another step, and my feet are guiding me along, and my legs are taking me there. And then I go over to a chair and I take my hand and I reach out and I pull that chair out and I grasp it with my fingers and my thumb. And then my muscles take my body and I sit down in that chair. Then my arm will extend out my hand and my hand will grab a fork and take the food and put it on the fork. The arm then takes it to my mouth and my teeth begin to chew it up. Then the muscles of my mouth and esophagus swallow it. And then my body begins to digest it and distribute the nutrients to all of my body. Now, that's just a very small picture of how, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 different parts of my body that I listed there, that they all play a critical role in my body receiving the nutrients that I need. Now, let's say that I cannot hear. And Tiffany calls and says, "Hey, supper's ready." And I just sit there. I have no idea that she's called me for supper. So, without my ears, I don't get over there to get the food that I need. Let's say that I can hear, but let's say that for some reason my legs don't work. Well, then I can hear and I know it's available, but I'm not able to get over there. Maybe I got to pull myself over there with my arms. Maybe I have legs and they work and I can hear and I get over there. And maybe I sit down, but maybe my hands don't work and I can't grasp the fork. Or maybe my teeth don't work, or the esophagus doesn't work, or maybe my eyes don't work to be able to see it. All those things inhibit me and hinder me from getting to where I need to be to digest the nutrients that are sitting on that plate, which the nutrients is what I'm ultimately after, because that's what strengthens me. It's what gives me the energy to push forward every day. So every single member of my body plays an important role in feeding my physical body and strengthening it and nourishing it. And they've all got to do their proper parts. What would you think about me if you invited me over to your house and you sat down a bunch of food in front of me and I came over there and I sat down and I just grabbed a big old pile of green beans and I just began to crush them in my hand. And I made my hand do the function of my teeth. You'd be like, "Man, this guy's crazy. Why are you chewing your food up in your hand?" So I'm saying, "Well, when I chew my food up in my hand, I'm going to smear it on my feet, and those nutrients are going to get in my body." It doesn't work that way. The hand has got to do the grabbing. The teeth have to do the chewing. The feet have to do the moving. The ears have to do the hearing, and the eye has to do the seeing. So they've all got very, very important parts. Now, we might say, "Well, your hand is way more important than your feet." Or we might say, because I hear it pretty regular, "My teeth are not all that important. Just pull it out of there." Well, guess what? They are important, because your hand doesn't do a very good job of chewing your food. So each one of them plays an important role, and they have to play a specific role in order for the body to function properly and to be nourished adequately. Now, Paul has written here that this body of the church is very, very much like the picture that I just painted you of the physical body. Now, believe it or not, that this church body as a group faces many challenges in life. As individuals, we will face many challenges in life. And in order for this body to function properly and to be adequately nourished, we have to have the members. You know, Paul said the members of the body. We have to have the members functioning like it's intended to function. I hope that makes sense. How do we do that? How do we, as the members let's say, of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. How do we as the members contribute to this church body in such a way that we strengthen it and nourish it just like the hand and the feet and the eyes and the ears do to your physical body? Well, Paul has told us here in Romans the 12th chapter. The Lord, we do not say, oh, we got Brother Jim over here. You know, Brother Jim's an elbow. Oh, we got Brother Harold over here. He's the feet. We don't describe it like that. We describe it as each member having gifts that God has given you. Now, in Romans, the 12th chapter here, starting at verse 4, I'm going to read it again. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Think of it this way. The hand's function is to grab. The teeth's function is to chew. The feet and legs are to get you moving. He says here that we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We're not all hands, we're not all feet, we're not all eyes, we're not all ears. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member and everyone members one of another. And then he says this. This is where he gets in to where the rubber meets the road of some are grippers, some are chewers, some are movers, and some are hearers. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. He goes on, he lists ministry, he lists teaching, he lists exhortation, he lists giving, he lists ruling, he lists showing mercy. Now I know, and I don't have time to go through this, that there are gifts that were given in the first century church that we do not have now. All right, I don't have time to go through the Bible and prove that, but you'll read about some gifts that God gave those people, the apostles and the prophets in the Bible here in the days that Christ walked and some years after that, that we don't have now. They died with the apostles. They died with the ones that the apostles laid hands on, but we don't have some of those gifts. But these particular gifts right here, are gifts that are given to the church body, individual members of this body, to make us function properly. Now, I certainly don't have time to go into every one of them in great detail, but I want to give you just a few here. He says prophecy is a gift. Now, sometimes in the Bible, prophecy means to preach. Sometimes in the Bible, prophecy means to foretell future events. But as it is concerning the church body, the general assembly, there are gifts of prophecy here. And they didn't come because you went and took a class on prophecy. They're here because God gave them to this body so this body could function properly. The gift of prophecy as it relates to the general assembly is simply wise counsel. The gift of prophecy is wise counsel. It is the ability to look at someone's actions and the decisions that are made and understand how that affects people in the future and to have the wisdom to say, these are the consequences of the decision you make way back here. You know, some of us are not as strong in that as others. But there are people here that God has gifted and blessed to be able to sit down and say, you know what, you need to think about this because this is what's going to happen on down the road. He talks about ministry. Ministry is just servitude. It is serving. I don't know if you got to church when I did this morning, but you had an obstacle course of brooms back there and mops trying to mop up and clean the floor. It was a picture of ministry, of service, of saying, you know what, here's something that needs to be done. I'm going to go get what I need and I'm going to clean it up. I'm not looking for recognition. I know the church floor needs cleaning. I know the church grass needs cutting. I know the church house needs painting. I know the church needs this and I'm going to go do it. I know so-and-so over here is laid up. I'm going to go cut their grass for them. The Bible tells us that God has gifted people in this body to do that. He also says there's a gift of teaching, which is probably the most abundant gift. Teaching is just to increase somebody's knowledge. And if you're little out there and you can understand the words that I'm saying, don't think for one second that you've got to be an old gray-headed man to teach somebody. The Bible teaches us that sometimes we learn from you. We learn from your example. We learn from the way you conduct yourself. And the Bible says if you're going to have malice, you need to have malice as children. That means you need to look at children, and they don't hold grudges for very long. And us adults could learn from that. Teaching, and I will throw this in there, If you're counting on the teaching of your family to come from the 1 hour that you get on Sunday morning, you are doomed. You cannot sustain a family with spiritual knowledge by Brother Tim's 1 hour of preaching per week. It takes at home teaching and laboring with your family. Do you know, years ago I read somewhere where somebody was talking about minutes in the church. Do you know that years ago, that if a father was not taking the time to teach his children at home, that they considered that a reason for church discipline? They took it very, very seriously. We should take it very seriously. Teaching is increasing in knowledge, and some people are gifted in that. Exhortation, to exhort someone, means to pull them close to their side. To exhort someone is to encourage someone. You ever gotten a letter from somebody? You ever had somebody come up, put their arm around you, and say, "Hey, listen, I just want to encourage you for a second." Have you ever had somebody do something or say something in the midst of a difficult time just to lift you up with their words or actions? God has given this body those gifts to encourage. Now, giving is sacrificing one's goods. Now, I read it this way and I like it this way. God is not going to burden you with the gift of giving and not give you the means to do it. The gift of giving is to sacrifice your goods, and you don't do it for show, that you see somebody needs help, you see somebody has a need, and it doesn't bother you at all to take what you have and give it to them. As a matter of fact, what bothers you is to not do that. Because God has given an impression on you and a gift inside of you that sees that somebody needs something financially or needs something that you have, and you just have a desire to give it to them. Now, ruling is just to preside or to organize. Do you know that? And that does not mean in a dictator type way. You know, sometimes we have somebody say, "Hey, I'm organizing a list of meals to take to so-and-so because they just had a baby or they're sick." They're organizing those things and they're putting those things together. That's the gift of ruling or presiding. Mercy is when you suffer when somebody else suffers. You suffer with them. You hear about somebody that's down and out and they're sick, and you just have a burden to go be with them, to tend to them, to help them in any way that they need help, and you feel the pain that they feel. Now, I want you to think about this as I close up here for Brother Neil. My hand plays an important function. My feet do, my ears do, my eyes do, my teeth do, and all my body parts play an important function. But you take some of them away, my body does not function like it's supposed to. God has given gifts to the members of His body, and they have the intent and the purpose of making it function like it's supposed to function. Now, I read somewhere something Brother Mike Ivey wrote one time, and I really like it. I don't have it with me, so I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. Let me give you the example of somebody that is afflicted and sick and maybe laying at home, bedridden, and they're going to be there for a season of time. Somebody in this church that the Lord has blessed with the gift of mercy is going to want to go to that person and sit at their bedside. They're going to want to get them their pills. They're going to want to do what needs to be done. They're going to sit there and they're going to labor through that affliction with them. Do you know somebody may come along that has the gift of exhortation and just want to go over there, and they may want to encourage the one that has the gift of mercy, or they may want to encourage the one that's laying in the bed through many, many different ways. Somebody that has the gift of ruling will say, "So-and-so's laid up here afflicted and sick. Let's get a list of meals to get to them." Somebody that has the gift of giving may say, "You know what? While you're laid up and you can't work, I'm going to take care of your bills. I'm going to take care of your groceries. I'm going to do all that for you. You don't have to have that financial burden." Somebody that has the gift of ministry say, "You know what? This person's laid up and they're sick. I'm going to go cut their grass. I'm going to go paint their house. I'm going to go do what needs to be done." Somebody with the gift of prophecy may say, let me talk to you about some things that are going on right here, some pitfalls that I see way out in front of you based on what you've got going on right now, and I want to try to help you recover." And they may give you some wise counsel on treatment or whatever. Do you see how this person is laid up sick and afflicted, and all the members of the body play an important role to go to that person and minister and to teach and to exhort and do all that things for that person? Now, what if the mercy doesn't go? What if the exhorter doesn't go? What if the person that has the gift of giving says, "I don't think I'm going to take care of groceries and bills. I don't think I'm going to do all that." What if the people that have the gifts that God has given us decide not to go to that person? It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's like me trying to chew green beans with my hand. Now, something that we should remember. Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you do these things to the least of my brethren, you do it unto me." To exercise the gifts that God has given this church is to serve God. You may go to this person over here, but what you're really doing is you're serving Christ. Now, we are a body, and we are made up of many different members. It's interesting that we invite people to be a member of this church. You ever thought about that? To be a part of this body. And we're a body that is made up of many different members. And each member has been gifted by God to provide for the proper functioning of the church, to strengthen it, to nourish it. And when we do that, you see the beauty internally. You see the beauty and the loveliness of the body as Christ intended it to be. And also from an external sense, the community looks at it and says, now there is a body that seems to operate in such a way that is just wonderful. That's because we're operating in such a way that the Lord intended. And I'll say this as I close, a couple things. I have never been around a body that I feel like understands and exercises these things as well as the body that I have in front of me. I am so grateful to be a part of people that understand and listen to that small, still voice of the Spirit that says, go, give, teach, exhort, minister, serve. It's a blessing for me to be a part of this body. Brother Neil is going to come and preach, and when he's done preaching, he's going to do what we always do. He's going to go right down there, and he's going to open the doors of the church, and he's going to extend an offer to become a member of this body. And I can tell you, we as this body will benefit from having that. But you also will benefit from having that. And I hope that we can thank God for these blessings that he's given us, these gifts that he's given us, because they nourish us and they strengthen us. And I pray that if you're unsure what your gift is, that you'll pray the Lord reveals that to you. Because as I sat down and went through these and I began to study these, I began to see faces that I know. I began to see people. Some of them have many gifts. Some of them have strong gifts. And don't be the person that the Lord tells us in Matthew 25 who takes that gift and that talent and buries it. I pray that you'll use it and use it to its fullest, and that you'll pray that the Lord will continue to grow you in other ways and other gifts, so you can just continue to serve the functioning body of this church. I hope that that's been profitable to you.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.